ಕಾಲೇರ ಭವತಿ ಭಾರತ. ಅದ್ಯುತಾನಂ ಅಧರ್ಮಶಂ ತದಾತ್ಮಾನಂ ಸೃಜಾಮ್ಯಹಂ. ಪರಿತ್ರಾಣಾಯ ಸಾಧುನಾ ವಿನಾಶಾಯ ಚ ದುಷ್ಕೃತಾ. ಧರ್ಮ ಸಂಸ್ಥಾಪನಾರ್ಥಾಯ ಶಂಭಾಮಿ ಯುಗೇ ಯುಗೇ ಶಂಭಾಮಿ ಯುಗೇ ಯುಗೇ. ಹರೇರ ನಾಮ ಹರೇರ ನಾಮ ಹರೇರ ನಾಮೈವ ಕೇವಲಂ. ಕಲೌ ನಾಸ್ತೇವ 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 ಗತಿರಂಗತಾ. ಕೃಷ್ಣ 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 ಹರೇ ಹರೇ, ಹರೇ ರಾಮ ಹರೇ ರಾಮ, ರಾಮ ರಾಮ ಹರೇ ಹರೇ.
ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ. Welcome to this weekly Krishna Consciousness program, and once again I would like to invite all the listeners to the Hare Krishna temple, where every Sundays we hold a special public program starting at 11:30 with bhajans and kirtans, followed by aarti of their lordships at 12:30, and then we have a discourse on Krishna consciousness from 1 to 2, and followed by aarti of our founder acharya, his divine grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Then we'll finish the day's program with the vegetarian feast at 2:30. But today we have a very special program. Our guest, His Grace Madhava Prabhu, is here. He's a very good kirtaniya. He will be singing kirtan, Krishna consciousness bhajans, kirtans. Please come. He will start from 11 and will go on till 2:30. Please come along and join us. Listen to this favorite singer. And remember, tomorrow we'll be celebrating Ram Navami at the temple from 6 p.m. in the evening. So join us to celebrate. If you don't get a time off during the day to celebrate Ram Navami, you can join us at the temple at 6 p.m. Remember, it's the Hare Krishna temple. It's at 1229 Coldsville Riverhead Highway, also known as Highway 28. Come and join us and let's celebrate Krishna consciousness in Ram Navami. Let's continue with the episodes of Ramayana. Last week we had how Lakshman had cut off nose and ears of Shrupnakha, and now her brother Kar and Dushan has attacked the camp, and Ram is having a fight with Kar Dushan and his 14,000 strong man, while Lakshman is taking care of Sita in a cave. This is the description of the war between Ram and Kar Dushan and his army. As one head rolled to Kar's chariot wheel, his eyes were with tears. Within 1.5 muhurtas, he had lost all his great commanders and generals, his 14,000 strong Rakshas group, his brother Dushan, and now the trusted Trishira. His tears evoked mindless rage, and he maneuvered his chariot towards Ram. The gigantic 25-horse chariot began to move swiftly toward the patient and quiet Ram. Countless corpses lay strewn in layers. His chariot maneuvered the heaps of dead bodies. In some places, such was the mess of bodies and bloody swaths that the chariot swelled like a top, but he somehow managed to reach his target. Unable to digest all his losses, Kar shot an array of arrows at Ram, catching Ram off guard. The arrows cleanly split his bow into two pieces and destroyed the celestial armor, stripping him of any protection. Incensed, the shooting left Ram's body bruised severely. Seeing the numerous gashes and blood-dripping limbs, Ram became furious. Looking at a wounded and helpless Ram, Kar began to laugh hysterically, believing that Ram was done in by fatigue and that it was all over for him. As Kar was immersed in the joy of short-term victory, Ram closed his eyes and invoked the celestial bow sage Agastya had given him. A blinding flash of lightning struck on the extended palms of Ram, and when the dazzling light disappeared, in his hands was a sleek bow with a metallic sheen. Ram respectfully raised the bow to his forehead and murmured a silent prayer, placing one end of the shiny bow on the ground while holding it on with one. The other, he glared at the still laughing Kar. His bare breast chest began to quake in anger. With his body shorn of any armor, Ram's hidden beauty seemed distinctly attractive. A few seconds later, Kar was on his knees on the ground. His chariot was smoldering from Ram's missile attack. The game that Kar thought was won had changed in a matter of seconds. Save yourself if you can, Kar. Your intelligence is just like that of an ass. Therefore, you are rightly named as Kar, an ass. Your brother Dushan was expungent along with his bad qualities. Now it is your turn. Let the world see what happens to those sinners who usurp the property of and life of the innocent and weak. Just as a tree with decaying root will die sooner or later, your decay process had begun with every sin you committed. Today I will be only punishing your already decayed life. All those propping you up and keeping you standing are all dead and gone. I have been ordered by King Bharat, the mighty king of Ayodhya, to clear the forest of this kingdom of wicked people, just as no one hesitates to kill a poisonous snake. People like you are worth being killed a million times over for the pain you have rendered to so many sages. Kar charged like a raging bull. The speed at which he reached caught even Ram by surprise, so much so that he was left with no time to draw his bow to its full length and shoot. Yet Ram surprised Kar by retreating by a few steps. Sometimes something Kshatriyas do not do. That gave him enough space that he needed. The next second, a celestial arrow given to him by Augustine had pierced through cut an image from his back. The shot at such a close distance was too much for Kerr to handle. The arrow had punctured his heart, whizzed out of his back, and hit a tree, completely dissecting it. Kerr was dead. Lessons from this massacre. There is a deep insight from the exciting fight episode. The 14,000 rakshas represent the various pleasures, craving of the mind. Dushan represents an arrogance or darpan, acquired because of his youthful prowess that makes him pervert. Trisana represents self-conceit or mud, acquired because of thinking highly of oneself. Three things easily lead to the development of mud: noble birth, great scholarship, and immense riches. Anyone who has these three faculties tend to have a bloated head. Kara represents false ego or hankar, which is the power center of all the disqualifications. Ram is eliminating all these demons internally, represents that only by destroying the false ego and its associated disqualification can one expect growth of righteousness and progress of one's spiritual quest. In Ravan's palace, Akampana spoke in a hushed voice, his eyes staring into the blankness of courtroom ceiling. Everything is finished. We are history now. It's a matter of time. Lanka will be lost kingdom to the Rakshas dynasty. We are doomed. Everyone exchanged nervous looks. Akampana was a serious man and one of the top spies of Lanka. So when he spoke, it had to be taken seriously. Everyone was all ears as the stammering spy continued. The Rakshas outpost, the fortress for Lanka, Janistan, is completely destroyed. They are all corpses now. None is alive to tell you of his fate. I escaped in the nick of time and have dodged death to be able to tell you what is transpired there. Akampana was at least stabilizing now. Who did it? Was it Indra? Was it Yama? Or was it Agni? How many demigods did they bring? How dare these puny demigods challenge me even after I have made them lick dust off the battlefield so many times? Ravan began furiously pacing the room, punching and kneading his fist into his palm. I can put an end to time itself. I can kill them. I can burn down the sun with my anger. I can hold the wind. Just tell me who were there. One man. Just one man. One man alone did it. Ram is his name. Akampana spoke with emphasis, almost shoving his index finger into Ravan's face. He is invincible. His power matches a lion. His shoulders resemble that of a bull. His arms are like pythons and his thighs like the trunk of an elephant. His face shines like the full moon. His voice is thunderous and booms like the drum beats of the war drum. He spreads such terror among your henchmen by using his feathered arrows with golden veins Rama's omnipresent, visible at every nook and corner. No matter how hard they tried, his arrows chased and hunted down every single one of them. I know that he was a brother. He is a brother who is as powerful as him, but he did not even partake in this war. Ram was more than enough. Lankeshwar will go right now to Lankajanastan and kill that odious human. Ravan began storming out of the courtroom, realizing that the furious king was about what was about to do. Akampana clung to his feet to stall him and prevent him from moving any further. I beg you, my lord, you are our master and our chief. Without you, Lanka will not survive. So listen to me completely before you make any move. Do not mistake Ram for an ordinary mortal. Kar did not heed my advice and is come. Please listen to all that I have to say, for I will punctuate it with an advice that will make you happy and ensure your victory. Noticing that Ravan has stopped, Akampana stood up and right away began speaking animatedly, complete with emphasis and gestures, just about everything to convince the king. Let me describe the details and powers of your enemy, Ram. Ram can stop a flowing river. He can bring down the stars and planets. He can restore the earth if it slips off its orbit. He can drown the humanity into the ocean. He can destroy everything and recreate it all. Know this. He can never be killed, not by you, not by the demons and demigods put together, not by anyone or anything in this universe. There is no usual method to destroy him. O king, invincible as he seems, there is a special way to conquer him. I'll take you to another scene. Vedvati was back to her lotus position, glaring at Ravan with eyes filled with anger and determination. Ravan tried to rape Vedvati, who was meditating to please Lord Vishnu because she had desired to marry him. But suddenly Ravan came, saw Vedvati, and wanted to have sex with her. Glaring at Ravan with eyes filled with great anger and determination, she scolded at him. Physically, you may use your strength to abuse me, but spiritually, I am much more powerful than you are and will not allow you to contaminate me any further. By your touch, I have become an unfit offering for Lord Vishnu. I am leaving now, but Ravan, be assured that I will be back in your life soon and become the cause of your destruction and that of your dynasties. Now, this is another place where Ravan came across Ramba and again tried to rape her. Ramba shrugged off his grip, folded her hands and implored, "You are like my father-in-law. I am your daughter-in-law. Kindly allow me to go to my men. I beg you." "What nonsense is this? I just met you. How can I be your father-in-law?" Ravan was surprised. My future husband's father is your stepbrother. So naturally, you are my father-in-law. By this time, she was sweating profusely and all tears. All the bones of this stupid family were anyway going to be broken tomorrow morning. I am here to destroy my brother Kuber and ransack his kingdom. Before that, let me defile another sacred bone tonight. Saying so, Ravan threw her on the flat rock and plundered her and her husband. Nal Kuber knew he had no chance of survival in a direct conflict with Ravan, so he decided to use his yogic power to inflict a curse upon him that would eventually strangle him like a noose. Oh, stupid Ravan, the day you dishonor a woman again without her consent, that day you'll drop dead. I proclaim this with all my powers. The lusty beast that you are, that day is not very far. Nal Kuber poured water into his palm and vigorously sprinkled it in the air, hurling the curse towards Ravan. Ravan, when he was trying to please Lord Shiva, he made a stringent instrument using his nails as the cords and one of his heads in place of the gourd as the resonator. Impressed by his dual abilities of singing majestically and bearing immeasurable pain, Lord Shiva soon appeared before him with a brilliant smile. Why are you torturing yourselves into death? Tell me what you want. Shiva's deep voice rumbled. I need your Atmalinga and the beautiful woman I had seen on the Kailash mountain as my wife. Ravan asked smilingly, shamelessly. Parvati was aghast when she heard that Shiva had agreed to grant him both his requests. She knew that her husband was too innocent to comprehend Ravan's duplicity. Without naming her, Ravan had made Shiva hand over his own wife. Parvati prayed to Lord Vishnu. Instantly, Lord Vishnu created a woman from a sandalwood paste on his body. Parvati was pleasantly surprised that the clone closely resembled her. Naming her Mandodari, Lord Vishnu handed her over to Maidana in the Patal Loka as his daughter. Aware of Lord Vishnu's plan, Parvati went along with Ravan. As he was on his way to Lanka, carrying the Atmalinga in one hand and Parvati mounted on his other shoulder, he was stalled by an old, frail, effulgent Brahmin. He chuckled on seeing Parvati. Ravan's curiosity was piqued. On being questioned, the old man said, yet another devotee cheated by Shiva. The count is now 55. What? Do you really mean Lord Shiva cheated me? How? Ravan was eager to know and worry. Beard sliced his forehead. Unfortunately, yes, my friend. The woman you are carrying on your shoulders so lovingly is not the original wife of Lord Shiva. She is the shadow of Parvati. The real Parvati has been sent to Patal Lok and resides under the name of Mandodari as the daughter of Maidan. Don't be cheated like the many others. One who came looking for Parvati. The old man then wobbled away, the sly smile still intact on his face and looking at Parvati from the corner of his eyes. Ravan quickly placed Parvati down and walked away. He wanted no duplicates. As he walked away with Atmalinga in his hand, his eyes glowing with anger and his heart filled with the angst of being cheated, by one who he worshipped so dearly. At least there were some good people like this old man still left in this world to come to his rescue at the right time. He would soon obtain the real Parvati. As he was walking in contemplation, he felt an urgent need to answer nature's call. He was in a fix now. Lord Shiva had clearly told him that if the Atmalinga was put down, he wouldn't be able to shift it from there. He had to place it only at its final destination. Wherever he had placed become its final destination. You seem to be in some dilemma, young man. Is there anything I can do to help you? A young, handsome Brahman approached Ravan as if sent by providence. How much ever he had troubled them, still he knew deep down in his heart that he could blindly trust a Brahman. I need an emergency help from you. I need to answer nature's call urgently. But I am holding an Atmalinga given to me by Lord Shiva, and I can't keep it on the ground. Will you hold this for me until I return? Probably for the first time, Ravan was requesting someone in a humble tone because he was helplessly dependent on him. Gladly, my friend, give it to me and go ahead and experience the happiness of relieving yourself. Truly, there is no better pleasure than that. The Brahman had a naughty smile while accepting the Atmalinga from Ravan, who ran away hurriedly, looking quite comical. So we'll stop there, and next week you will find out what happened to the Atmalinga Lord Shiva had given Ravan and to his wife.
Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna, Hare Krishna.